The Around the NFL podcast is trapped underneath the Geno Coaster.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
This is our last opportunity to spend quality time with Greg Rosenthal for the next few days.
That's right.
Greg, who will be getting on an airplane shortly and heading toward the United Kingdom, specifically London, England, as he provides street coverage of the international series.
That's right. I like that all my music is very royal, the Throne of Ease, this song.
Yep, that's you know, you're getting comfortable in your own skin as sort of an elitist, potentially, you know,
also,
lineage from royalty type individual.
Also, Come on, Ride the Train by the Quad City DJs.
Right, that's true. I like that one. Yeah, I'm going to...
Not where. Don't say where.
No.
Because we're not going anywhere.
No.
We're going to be right here. Thank you, third floor.
Let's unpack this. Are there any hard feelings between you and Greg? Because he's going to London and you're not.
Mm.
Between Greg and I, absolutely not. You know I don't like to go anywhere, number one.
That's true.
Number two, my wife is 8.5 months pregnant. So this wasn't really even in the cards for me this year, to be honest with you, unless we would have all gone to the first International Series game a couple of weeks back. So absolutely no bad blood. Mark and Greg is a little different because I think my vibe on the situation, Wes, is that Mark thought after last year's trip, that he had established himself as kind of the go-to around the NFL guy for
our
London
correspondent.
Yeah.
No, you
so
know,
for this
no.
to be like taken out from under his feet.
I don't see it entirely that way. Connor was with me too, and I guess it's a message to Connor and I that we did not produce.
Oh,
we didn't produce well enough. They're going to send someone different, and I get that. That's how it works. If you don't get the job done, you don't go the next time. That's how life works.
Sounds like you're taking it well.
I have felt guilty about it. Like it, I definitely, I felt very guilty in terms of being able to go. I got to live up to you know, Connor and what Mark have done ahead.
This is the first I've even heard that Greg was going. He hasn't even mentioned it to us.
Well, I think it's a wonderful event. I got to go, so I feel if anything, you got to keep going down the list so that everyone has a chance.
And Greg, now is a good opportunity for you to let everyone in London know which tavern you'll be at to meet all the fans.
Rams, Giants are the two teams playing. I don't know any tavern.
Twickenham Stadium.
I'm getting off the plane. I'm going to the plane now. Get off the plane. Go right to Rams practice on Wednesday. I'm going to be writing a lot. Rams, Giants. I don't really know what taverns, but we'll set something up.
And
we'll figure it out.
I will say you are.
How do I know?
You're cutting it a little bit close. It's 2:15. You actually castigated Sydney behind the glass before we started. Sid, can we add that at the end of the show just so everyone can hear what Greg sounds like when he's shouting down Chris Berman to people helping out the show?
Yeah, I think it's important.
Chris Berman style.
Oh,
yeah, really.
Okay. Anyway, let's get this show going because Greg does have a flight to make. A flight, by the way, one last note. Henry Hodgson, the Handsome Hank, will also be on. Handsome Hank, though, will be in business class. Greg and Coach. Greg,
whoa,
your thoughts.
Look, you rise to the top of the company like Henry does. I got no problems with that.
What? Be careful of one thing. I got on.
I'm excited because I get to. He told me if I get to the airport early enough, which is not going to happen now. Sorry,
you're not getting to the airport early.
You know, thanks to Sydney.
No. Bunsen burner blowtorch.
That's just a bit.
Henry
said, "Let me know," because he's hanging out in the like cool person's lounge ahead of time, and I could.
That's
join
what
him
they call it.
That's going to fizzle up quick. I had
How
a male
does Henry
model.
Know where the cool person's lounge is?
He's pretty cool.
Just kidding, Henry.
I'm not.
Sorry,
you know,
I
no, I'm not. Absolutely, I am not telling this story. Hit me up on DM or email me at marks.sessler@nfl.com if you want to hear the story I was about to tell.
You sure you don't want to tell?
No.
Okay. The Around the NFL podcast, sponsored and brought to you by Mr. Flame's economics class in The Hague, the Netherlands. Today's show, chock full of NFL content. Monday night football recap between the Arizona Cardinals and New York Jets. We're going to hit up the news, see what's going on around the league. We will reconvene the Fork Committee. Get the Danish. We had the coffee.
Locks.
We had the locks, the bagels, English muffins. English muffins in honor of Greg's trip that we're not going on. We talked about which teams are going to be forked, which means they have no chance of making the playoffs. We've already done five, and we're going to probably add to that list would be my guess. So we're going to have a fork committee convention and then the Thursday night football preview. Chicago Bears back in prime time, everybody. Get excited. But let's start, folks, with some Monday night football talk. Yes, from University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, the Arizona Cardinals needed to get right. And luckily, they had the New York Jets coming to town. A New York Jets team that from the start looked overmatched against the Cardinals, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Let's get a listen here at just one of the many highlights for the Arizona Cardinals on Monday night.
Second down, they're going to run it. Left side, David Johnson across the 45. Great move to the right at the 50. Cuts back to the left at the 40. He's loose at the 30. He's at the 20, the 10. The streak ends. The Cardinals finally score in the first quarter. It's a David Johnson 58-yard touchdown run.
Oh, David Johnson, baby. A hop, a skip, a jump, and then hit the Jets. What great patience by David Johnson. On that tackle
Great.
Zone, run to the
Love
left.
Him.
Yeah, we're happy for you.
See what he did there, hit the Jets?
Yeah, I like that. David Johnson scored on runs of 58, 2, and 2 yards. And I must add, he was not touched, literally not touched by a Jets defender on any of those runs. Final score, 28-3, a game in which Ryan Fitzpatrick was pulled halfway through the fourth quarter in favor of Geno Smith. And I will say, even as a Ryan Fitzpatrick supporter, it was perhaps overdue in this game, with the Jets now 1-5, and the Cardinals are 3-3, and this was a nice get healthy win, and we'll see if they're able to build on this. But the Jets now 1-5, for all intents and purposes, done, cooked, which made me think, Greg, and I know you are a big Geno Smith fan, we all know that with the season essentially on the line, they should have maybe got Geno in the game sooner here to see if it could spark an offense that was going nowhere in the first half.
I would have loved to seen that. I thought you saw some quick throws, you know, out of Geno right away and then some mistakes out of Geno. You can't take too much away from that drive, but I don't think it would have mattered because they have no run game. They have no real pass protection. They're stuck in third and longs. The Cardinals' defense and their pass rush has become a real strength of that team, and it wouldn't have mattered if Geno Smith or Ryan Fitzpatrick are in that game. I don't think they're going to be that competitive the way it looked last night.
Well, if this is the crash site of the Jets season, it's also the game that made me realize the Cardinals are never going to recapture what they had last season. Ooh. They have to play a different style, and I think Greg mentioned this in his fantastic debriefing article that he does on
the debrief.
Their two best offensive players are David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald, and they can't run that deep passing game because the offensive line can't protect Carson Palmer long enough. And frankly, Palmer isn't moving in the pocket nearly as well as he did last year. So that deep passing game is gone. It's just David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald as this offense. And it can be complemented by a much better defense this year, I think, that gets after the passer a little bit better than they did last year.
This is a weird takeaway, but towards the end of the game, I just was watching Bruce Arians last night, and something just seems a little off with Arians. I mean, I know that he's obviously had some health issues going into the year, but the whole Cardinals team just, you're right, is not able to recapture the magic from last year. That said, there's a lot more hope if you're a Cardinals fan than the other NFC title contender from last year, which was the Panthers. They're a completely different operation. And this game for them, they needed it and they got it decisively.
Well, I think they had a different outlook going against Todd Bowles. Maybe that was part of him being a little weird. He talked about after the game, he didn't really enjoy it too much because he was playing his close friend Todd Bowles. They also knew that the Jets were really going to try to take away the deep pass. And this team looked like the Chiefs. I mean, you do not see the Cardinals go 11 plays, 14 plays, 16-play touchdown drive. You never saw that last year, but it worked. And you know what? Good coaches adapt. They can win a lot of games, I think, with the best running back in the league and a decent pass.
Whoa. Best running back in the league?
Well, one of them. Him and Bell are right.
What I like to do during the game is text, you know,
Elliott,
Greg and Dan and Wes, and just ask, Wait, is David Johnson a good player? Like, just be a year and a half behind the curve on this, because he looked amazing last night. And we praise the Patriots all the time for finding out who they are on offense around mid-October and starting to pick up from there. Well, maybe the Cardinals do that as well. They thought they could do what they did last year. No, you have to shift, and they've got the running game and the running back to do it.
Let's take a look at the Arizona Cardinals' upcoming schedule. Now 3-3, and if this is where they're still trying to figure it out, to be 500 through week six, they're okay. Let's see what happens. At home on Sunday night against Seattle, that will be a great litmus test for them. Then at Carolina, which we don't even know what that game is anymore, but that's a pretty tough 1-2 punch potentially. Then their bye week, and they come home with a cupcake against the 49ers, and then travel to Minnesota, then to Atlanta back-to-back week.
Wow.
So this is going to be
acid test.
If this is not the same team, Wes, and they are, and maybe this was a bit of a mirage because the Jets are such a mess. The Cardinals are still in a lot of trouble if they don't pick up their play. We shall see. And we should check in with my old man, my dad, guy who taught me so much about the world and also made me a Jets fan. Let's
wow.
check in with Dad, see what he had to say about this game.
His name is Keith. He's Dad's dad. No doubt about it, he's a big Jets fan. What is he gonna say about the game today? What is he gonna say about the game today?
Jets game six, 25-point beating by the Arizona Cardinals. The Jets looked like a team that didn't want to play, and the Arizona Cardinals just demolished them. Not much to say about this game. Fitzpatrick, his lackadaisical attitude, or at least appearance, going off the field is sort of concerning to me. But maybe that's just his low-key attitude. I don't know. That's the end. Bye.
My dad, hate to hear my dad like that. But the Ryan Fitzpatrick situation, let me just wrap before we move on here. My dad is out on Fitz now. At least he's deeply frustrated by the demeanor on the field as everything crumbles. And I will say this. I think if the Jets now, going nowhere, feel like they should be going in a different direction, I can't get in the way of that. But at the same time, anybody – and now the people that love to have fun at the Jets' expense on Twitter were having a ball last night. But the thing with Fitz was before week 17, fourth quarter last year, 31 touchdowns, 12 interceptions – a passer rating over 90, almost 4,000 yards. That guy was a special guy in the franchise's history for one season. So I have no regrets that he came back and they let that contract situation play out, and they actually made the right move, I thought, still, by bringing him back. But at this point, it seems like the magic is gone, and I can't fight any. Even if they put in Geno Smith now, if they feel like they need to put somebody else in there, I wouldn't fight it. They're not going to
next week.
But it tells you a lot about Geno Smith, who was being a goober on the sideline again last night.
Number one, I would much rather see Bryce Petty than Geno Smith.
I would love to see Bryce Petty.
Greg, I know you're a fan of Geno Smith, but part of the issue, you make a change because it's ball protection, and Geno Smith is a turnover machine, and that's what he's always been, and I think that he's not part of this franchise after this season. Secondly, it's very hard to see your dad, if you're a son, very hard to see a parent, but especially a father, struggle, and that was hard to listen to. I feel bad for Keith.
Dad's okay. I mean, we're used to this. So he woke up in the morning, he went on with his life, but that was a draining loss and a very disappointing season for the Jets. I can't remember, honestly, another season where I was this disappointed in how the team came out. I thought the first six games that if they could get to 3-3, they'd be okay. 1-5 was a worst case scenario that I never thought could have happened. And this is where we are, 1-5.
There's not a lot of hope long term because a lot of the key guys are older guys.
Right.
You know, even Marshall's their best offensive player right now. You know, he's getting up there in years. You're throwing the ball to Peak and Anderson, and the running game needs to be remodeled. And Matt Forte's
on fumes.
Right. Nick Mangold, Harris.
They were almost built to make a run, like, right now, but right. Without the most essential
Wilkerson's
piece.
Not having a good year, by the way.
No.
He probably won't be back there next year. So, yeah, the linebacker. Wilkerson. Oh, no, wait, he signed the long-term deal.
You're thinking Sheldon Richardson, who didn't actually look bad yesterday, but
he's played fine this year.
Anyway, let's move on. Depressing situation with the Jets, but plenty of other things to talk about, guys, so let's get to it and talk a little news.
I'm done with the tablets. I just can't take it anymore.
That's Bill Belichick, who in his press conference on Tuesday took issue with some of the sideline equipment. Let's start, folks, and talk about the Big Ben injury. Ben Roethlisberger is going to miss some time, at least 1 week after that knee injury he suffered on Sunday. Turned out to be a situation that required surgery. This all came down right as we were finishing our podcast on Sunday, so our first chance to talk about it, Wes. But a torn meniscus in his left knee. He won't play against the Steelers. We're going to talk about the throne of ease, Marone. But, Wes, Big Ben out. Do the Steelers, are they one of the teams at the top of the list that go from stud team to complete also-ran as soon as the quarterback gets hurt?
I think that this distance between Ben Roethlisberger and Landry Jones is the widest margin between starter and backup in the NFL. Mm. And this, the Steelers have had salary cap problems, which have prevented them from upgrading at backup quarterback for the past, what, half decade, knowing they have one of the most injury-prone starters in the league. And they've rolled out Bruce Gradkowski and Landry Jones, two of the worst backups. And Landry Jones, every time I watch him, I remember tweeting in the preseason, God, I hope I never get assigned another Steelers preseason game again ever because I can't watch Landry Jones play.
Well, and we killed Jerry Jones and the Cowboys for last season having a bunch of junk behind Tony Romo, who was known to be brittle. And the Steelers deserve the same criticism because you're right. This has been an issue that's popped up for them, whether it was a suspension for Ben Roethlisberger or whether it was, you know, multiple injuries. You're going to have to put someone in there every season for a game or two, and the AFC North comes down to a game or two.
Right. They do this every year. They miss stars, whether it's Le'Veon Bell. You know, Wesleyan pointed out this happens to them, and they also blow games like a game in Miami that the other teams like the Patriots or the Broncos that you're potentially fighting for seeding with are going to win those types of games. And now the Steelers are looking at a game where they're certainly, you know, heavy underdogs at home with Landry Jones. Now they're 4-3. They're going to come out of that bye. You know, the Ravens got to be thinking we could be 4-3 with a matchup against the Steelers. We're right there. The Bengals, who have been really
still
lost
alive
this season, a totally front-loaded schedule. Their schedule gets much easier. They got the Browns this week. They're 3-4. They're thinking we could be tied for first place at the midway point.
And Browns still totally alive because of what's happening in Pittsburgh as well.
Not going to go there.
Okay.
This injury could keep West of us alive for another year.
Hmm.
That's really what
the Bengals play up.
The pantomime of the whole season really is sort of centered around this one day West drinking celebration. So
wait,
yes.
It doesn't have to involve drinking.
It seems to.
Last year it did not. I covered the game last year.
Oh, that's true. I drank that day, though, so someone did.
Thank you.
Moving on, gentlemen. The NFL will review Vontaze Burfict's hit on Martellus Bennett. The Patriots tight end took a cheap shot from behind in the Cincinnati-New England tilt this past weekend. The review will follow the standard procedure, but Rap Sheet reports that we should be expecting a big fine, but not necessarily suspension for Burfict, who, of course, was suspended the first three games of this season for his behavior last year. Wes, I know you feel passionate about this.
There's now more to the story. Mike Reese of ESPN Boston, he found tape, or my guess is somebody leaked to him, tape of Vontaze Burfict apparently stomping on LeGarrette Blount while Blount was on the ground. Blount gets up and starts pushing Vontaze. Bengals say, look, the referees didn't see it, any kind of stomping going on, but this is par for the course, and I don't think a player who deserves the benefit of the doubt. They are now talking about the Blount incident, and that could lead to a suspension. But this is a guy who, before the whistle, is a headhunter, and after the whistle turns into a heel from professional wrestling, starts working on different body parts all the time. So this is his MO.
He had so many problems on the Up to the Minute show hosted by Andrew Siciliano and Fridays by Patrick Claibon. Everyone should watch this. 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern every day from our newsroom. He had so many.
He's got money sticking out of his
face.
I mean, it was you know.
Go ahead.
Oh, God forbid we promote little NFL Network. Why not? Vontaze Perfect. He had so many behavior problems that they had to have two boards of it. You couldn't fit all of his fines on one board.
I like bad boys once in a while in my sport. Right on.
There's a drop we need to save for the future.
I know.
Just cut it off right at I like bad boys.
I don't like them in the AFC North, though.
I understand where you're coming from, Mark, but when you're diving at the back of a guy's knees, you're messing with his rear.
From that angle, yes.
You seem to be next level.
Perfect.
Your bad boys to only be a little bit bad.
I want them to have a hint of badness.
I would like if he played this up a little bit more and embraced the heel character, whereas right now he's just out to hurt people.
Yeah.
And doesn't the team need to do something?
You would think so, but no, the apologies just keep spilling out of Cincinnati.
From the owner right on down.
I like this pump. This pumps you up, Wes.
It does, because they've enabled this guy since he came into the league. We're talking about a guy who had 22 flagrant penalties in 37 games at Arizona State, contributed to his slide all the way out of the draft when people thought he was a first or second round talent because you couldn't keep him under control, and the Bengals just make excuses for him all the time.
I think certain things with the Bengals and Wes is that deep in his mind, he wants things to justify his reason for leaving the team, even though he likes a lot of things about the team in the last 5-6 years. So when something like this happens, he's like, okay,
your
I didn't
theory
mess up.
Could not be more erroneous in this situation. And there is no player in the league like Vontaze Burfict. He's just allowed to be a renegade, and the Bengals do nothing about it.
There was a wonderful week a couple years ago where Wes was back in Cincinnati and filed like a hate-seeking report on the Bengals with a Cincinnati Dateline. And I thought, we need to get this guy back home, taking his team, rubbing them over the coals every day. I like the tension.
Rubbing them over the coals.
Well, raking them or rub them. I don't care. Do what you want to do with the coals.
Rubbing is a little central. It's like something that happens.
Sure.
Rub them.
Maybe there's a healing process here.
Rub them with some hot coals.
Get over here with those hot coals. Rub them on me. It's different than rake them over the car.
All right, ombudsman.
Moving on, the Dallas Cowboys have the best kind of problem. Two quarterbacks that a lot of teams would die to have. Dak Prescott, the dynamic young rookie, and Tony Romo, the old veteran, coming back from a back injury. Jerry Jones, who previously had been steadfast in his assertion that Tony Romo will be back in the lineup. It seems like more and more the organization is backing off that as a definite situation. Here's what he had to say about the situation this week.
For someone that many years has been in after-game situations where we didn't know what we were going to do at quarterback, and as late as probably a training camp, not know where we were going at quarterback after Romo got hurt, and to be sitting here with Dak playing at this level and Tony getting better and better and better, I have to pinch myself.
He's pinching himself.
He doesn't have to make a decision.
Right.
They can sit back, relax, kick back in their offices, wait 2 weeks while they're on bye, and enjoy the whole football world talking about Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, and they'll just wait until they need Tony Romo.
Well, this is setting up, you know, slow playing it. You know, however they want to publicly justify it, they want to get him back. His strength isn't back, this or that. They have been out front saying, no, there's no question, the second he's ready. Now they're starting to
back off that a little. I don't even think they're hiding it now. They're not even hiding it. They're saying, look, we're in this great situation. Yeah. We're just going to let things play out how they're going to play out, and we don't need Tony Romo now, so we're not going to do anything about it.
And I don't – nor are they not just hiding it. Stephen Jones, weeks and weeks ago at the beginning of the year after the promising preseason by Dak Prescott, stated openly that – you know, it's possible that this could be a Bledsoe Brady type situation. So I think that they couldn't be more delighted. Outside of New England, everyone in the league would love to have this situation. And if you're Jerry Jones, you finally think you have a chance to win one more title before the whole thing wraps.
I do wonder.
What do you mean the whole thing wraps?
Because Jerry Jones is not going to be running the Cowboys at this level for another two or three decades.
They just pried their Super Bowl way open, the window way open with this draft class.
Big time. Maybe you're finally
about mortality.
Yeah, well, I am, and finally justifying being on national television 12 times a year.
Let's take this. Don't you think they have one of the best nuclei in the league now?
I do.
If you take that offensive line, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, and Dez Bryant, Yeah. He's got a better nucleus.
It's a great lesson that these teams that continue to draft poorly and sabotage their fan base and their franchise for years on end, if you draft well like the Cowboys have, suddenly you're here.
By the way, it is not a nuclei. It's a flock of nucleus. moving on, more good news for the New York Jets. Eric Decker, who we knew had been moved to IR with a shoulder injury, a torn rotator cuff, that surgery will come, but first he has to recover from a hip operation that he underwent on Tuesday. The timetable is a little murky here. The recovery time for the hip surgery is 6 months. And they're gonna wait until he gets off crutches from the hip surgery, and at that time he'll have the shoulder surgery, which will sideline him for 8 months. Now, they're hoping he's ready for the start of next season. Like the Doomsday Brigade over at PFT filed a post today that his entire 2017 season is in jeopardy. I don't know about that, but we will see. But either way, Eric Decker. And any football player and hip surgery, not a good thing. So the hits keep on coming. Greatest hits fest for the Jets in 2016. Oh, and oh, by the way, Dennis Byrd died in a car accident on Saturday. The most inspirational Jet of all time. See you later, 2016. Don't let the door hitch on your ace.
Doomsday Brigade should be the name of the season-ending video for the Jets this year.
It was actually the third album by Delaware.
We didn't really talk about Decker much in the review of Monday Night Football. I don't know if that was intentional. I didn't get a note on that. But his loss in this offense brings them closer to where they were two seasons ago when they had Decker and no Marshall, and they were this wide receiver crew that simply couldn't move the ball. A lot of the reason you mentioned Fitz's stats from last year and his production had to do with that tandem, that duo of wide receivers, very effective.
Hopefully he gets back because, yes, when Decker and Marshall were clicking last season, it was the best 1-2 combination in the Meadowlands for the Jets since Krabet and Keyshawn. Let's move on. It is the one-year anniversary, folks, of the perhaps the worst play call in NFL history. Let's listen to it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now we've got on a fourth down and three. You got Griff Whalen ready to take the snap. He'll snap it. Actually, Colt Anderson is behind him. And what in the world? Flag is down.
There is absolutely no way possible that they should have snapped that ball and tried to sneak it. There were three, four, five guys around two players. That was insane.
I just wanted to point that out. 1 year ago today, Sunday Night Football, and one theory, and I wrote this up on the old end-around, NFL.com/end-around, probably the two worst plays in the NFL in this millennium, or millennia, was?
Flock of millennia.
Yeah. The Griff Whalen, Colt Anderson fake punt, and, of course, the butt fumble. Both happened in primetime. Both happened with Alan Chris at the mic. And both happened with the Patriots as the opponent. Do you think playing under the lights against the Patriots and Big Bad Bill causes teams to do funny things? Just a little theory.
It's good connecting the dots. I think there might be something to that.
Paranoia strikes deep. Into your mind it will creep.
That's what's happening in the news. All right, let's convene the Fork Committee.
Stick a fork in them.
All right, this is where we stand. Final boarding call for flight 1877 to London. This is your final boarding call. All right, so here we go. We have five teams have been forked already. The New Orleans Saints, the Jacksonville Jaguars, both 2-3.
Both have won two straight since we forked them.
Yep. The Chicago Bears and San Francisco 49ers, both 1-5. And the Cleveland Browns 0-6. I'm looking at this list, Greg. The Jags are the only one that gives me pause just because their division is so butt. But what about the Saints? I know you like the Saints. Do you think there's any chance?
I think there's a chance. It's a small chance. I give the Jaguars a better chance. I think any team that's second in the league in points, you know, they have something good about them. They know how to score. They have a great passing. You know, could they scrape out 9 wins and sneak into the playoffs? It's possible.
It helps that the league is more watered down and in some cases unwatchable than ever.
I got to, by the way.
NFC is, I think, going to be tougher in the end to get into the playoffs than the AFC, but that's just a guess right now.
Thank you for bringing that up, Mark, because I have been a little hard on Will McDonough for replacing Mike Tirico. Sean McDonough, excuse me. Is that his son, by the way?
Yeah, it is.
Sean McDonough, but he did stick it to the NFL a little bit in the Monday Night Telecast by the officiating, which was atrocious in that Jets-Cardinals game yesterday. Maybe that's playing into the ratings dip as well. So good job, Sean, because he might have gotten a phone call for that.
He might have. He lost his job, by all accounts, as the play-by-play guy on the Red Sox for being quite critical of the team. And when new ownership came in, they kicked him out the door.
And some reports out there, the NFL is going to do some games in China. Let's focus on what's going on inside. A little period of isolationism right now for the NFL. How about that?
You wouldn't want to. I would love to travel.
Is your Monroe doctor?
Period of isolation.
Yeah. Just let's figure out
who you. Who's the Trump supporter here?
You were
throwing us as the Trump supporters the other night. This is sounding rather familiar. What are you going to build a wall? You can only play football on the inside.
Listen, my little boy toy quarterback is not the one voting for Trump. But I will
say. Fair rejoinder.
I will say.
You don't know who he's voting for.
He's publicly supported
him. He won't say it.
La Raviglia Magnifico.
It is, Greg. That's disgraceful. Magnifico. Anyway, my point being, don't go to China. Make the games better. All right. Here we go. So, your P scale, Greg, on those five teams. One being your pants are totally dry. No need to change any of your underpants. 10, got to find a place to change all your underpants and also your pants.
Well, what would 20 be like a flood, and that's allowing three teams you forked to get into the playoffs? Because that's what happened last year.
Oh, that's
four,
pooping yourself.
That was
That's pooping yourself on your wedding day at the altar.
I would say my scale would be a 3
okay.
right now.
Makes sense. Huh.
Dan, one question.
Yeah.
Changing all your underpants.
Yeah.
What is the person in multiple? I don't know.
Yeah, they've had some problems with incontinence, so they wear multiple pairs of
underpants. Layers, okay.
Yeah.
It's like layers. The anti-Mark Sessler.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, enough
Bizarro
with that.
Bizarro Sessler.
Next segment.
Mark, famously... The only thing separating us from Mark's junk, a thin slice of denim.
By the way, a lot of people that live in California could absolutely subscribe to my dress habits.
Have you taken a survey?
Dress habits?
No, I don't take surveys on this, nor did I expect it to pop up on a podcast that broadcasts to like 25 different nations.
All right, here we go. So those five teams are out. I will now, gentlemen, let you know that there are 12 teams in the league with a losing record right now. And so the Jags, Saints, Browns, Bears, and 49ers are 5 of them. So there are 7 teams right now with a losing record. So let's just go through those teams. And then if you guys want to nominate any of the teams at 500, Arizona, Baltimore, Detroit, L.A., New York, Giants, and Tennessee, feel free. But I'm just going to focus on the teams with a losing record right now. And we might as well start with the defending NFC champion, a team that went 17-2 last year, but right now they're 1-5, one of two 1-5 teams we'll talk about here, the Carolina Panthers. Are we ready to say so long to a defending NFC champion? We've never done that before this soon.
I have too much respect for them, and they've been one of the streakiest teams in the NFL over the past 2 years. They are the 3-time defending division champions in a division that never had back-to-back winners. Mm. I have too much respect.
And they had a similar start in one of those division championships where you only won 7 games to win the division title. And I know we all like the Falcons, but you can't tell the future, and you never know. 9 wins, 8 wins might win this division for all we know. Things change fast, so I wouldn't want to fork them.
I'm with you. I think I want to see one more week from Atlanta and one more ugly loss for Carolina. If Carolina stumbles one more time, you're gone. Although that feels relatively safe. We want to be daring. We should fork them right now, but none of us want to do it.
I'm not ready to fork them either. I do believe they have a run in them, but I also probably would have wagered my firstborn that they would not lose 5 of 6 to start the season. So who knows what happens with this team.
But shouldn't just go around wagering.
Yeah, Jack's like,
not really.
Come on, bro. No one even brought it up, and you just threw me out there.
Really, you're right to do that, to be honest. We don't live in a society where you just gamble your children.
I would discuss it with my wife.
Like, what would you get if you were right, though, in this?
That's what I'm saying. What if it was $1 billion and you were completely certain?
Can't put
completely certain that you couldn't
lose.
You'd
go insane.
I've never been a father, but I would think that you can't put a price on your son.
I could agree with you on that.
All right, you know what? Everybody get off your high horses.
Oh, it's a high horse to say, oh, you're right, let's be common men and sell our children over a Carolina Panthers-based football wager.
All right, here we go. So their schedule, by the way, is not too tough. The next four games before they have a double banger at Oakland, at Seattle, home to Cardinals, at Rams, home to Chiefs, home to Saints. So
the rare double banger.
Yeah, they can do some damage potentially and get up to 500 or near it. So let's keep Carolina safe. Next up, yes, my New York Jets. 1-5. The schedule is much, much more manageable, but that was the thing that I said before the season started and a couple times since. It was these six games. They needed to win at least half of them, get out of it 3-3. Anything worse, you were in trouble. If you go 1-5, you're done. They got a lot of problems, the Jets. We don't see them making any type of miracle run, do we?
We're not stopping you.
They have the worst point differential in the NFL, and Geno Smith has entered the conversation. They're done.
Yeah, that was one where Football Outsiders had them 31st 2 weeks ago, and I thought, wow, that's really surprising that they've thought, you know, it's not like they're doing any thinking. It's all just data in terms of their drives and everything. I think their defense has been even worse than it's been talked about. I mean, I know the secondary's been bad. It's been one of the worst defenses in the league.
I think if pure numbers, some things got skewed.
Work 'em.
In that Kansas City game with the six picks, eight turnovers. But, yeah, no doubt about it. They can't score points, and they can't defend very well. There's so many problems. The Jets are forked. Very sad.
I could see a win in six or seven games.
That's the problem also.
Doesn't mean
Jets,
they're going to make the playoffs.
They do that too often. I kind of would rather them just tank, and then we get a great draft pick.
So a lot of Jets fans saying that last night on Twitter.
They always end up, you know, winning 6-8, and you're out of that top three spot. Well,
Geno's worth three or four wins on his own, so.
For which team, Greg, please?
That guy is a goober, by the way. Throwing his hat on the sideline, shouting loudly.
That's bad.
You know, everything, you know, is about Geno.
This isn't new, is it?
No, it's not at all. But
this
Greg's
is who
never
Geno
seen
Smith
it.
Is.
He's never seen it.
No, that was
– Greg doesn't believe in the it factor.
Greg is a double agent who would love the Jets to continue this Geno Smith romance.
Oh, please. I mean, Dan even admits it was time last night. Sideline act was honestly the most annoying thing Geno Smith's ever done, I believe.
That's a high bar, Greg. That's a very high bar.
All right, next up, the San Diego Superchargers at 2-4. Obviously, this is a team that could be 5-1, gentlemen. And yet they are 2-4.
Well, this can be a quick conversation. There's no freaking way. This is one of the best teams in the league in some level.
They might win this division.
I won't. Yeah, no forking them.
Okay.
They have led, and they're not
you
really.
You think they might win the division?
I
think they have an outside chance to make the playoffs.
One of these teams we're discussing is going to do something really weird.
Right. The crazy stat, they have led their games by an average of 6 points. At any point in the game, that's second in the league. I mean, most of their stats are with top 5 to 6 types of teams. Now, obviously, you got to learn how to finish out games. And their next 2 weeks are at Atlanta, at Denver. So, you know, it's going to be hard for them to split those. They got to get
calm down a little bit.
They got to split those.
I know that they should have won those games, but that's what teams do that aren't great teams. They blow game after game, and now you got two killer road matchups. We'll see. We'll see. I feel like we'll be talking about the Chargers again in a few weeks, but we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Next up, the Miami Dolphins, another 2-4 team. We were just saying less than a week ago they were the worst team in the NFL. They beat the Steelers in a game where you got to give them credit for it, but Big Ben gets hurt. Wes, does it change your thoughts on them at all after that win over the Steelers to keep them alive?
No, these are stinking dogs. Fork them. The only reason they still exist on this podcast is because you were trying to stick it to Hank, and you refused to fork them. You wanted to watch them dangle for a few weeks.
I was having a little fun with that. I wasn't quite prepared to fork them now at that point. But if I look at their,
they really dominated that game even before Roethlisberger got hurt. In terms of their offensive line, I think they found a good running back in Ajayi. Ryan Tannehill, for all the problems he's had, is throwing the best deep ball of his career. That's usually the one thing that's good. But they just lost Rashad Jones for the year. Wes, I know you've said that's their best player since started 2015.
Best strong safety in the NFL.
I'm ready to fork them. Anyways,
I am not ready to fork them. I think they got a run in them that will get them to 500.
This is getting to be.
I don't know if it's a bit, but I really like it.
It's a bit.
I'm not ready yet. I think they. I don't want them to get back to 500 and then be like, "Why did we do that?"
You don't even believe this.
I honestly do think sticking it to Henry.
Well, they're hosting the Bills this weekend, so that they're and even, then they have a bye. That could you know
even bad
get them free for a
even
couple.
Even bad
weeks.
Miami teams usually have one run, and you know then they usually crash back down to earth again. But I'm just not ready yet. I want to make sure they're dead before I say they're dead. And that's just my opinion.
That is annoying because I want them out of my life, and you have the power to keep them in my life.
Not really. We're going to talk about him either way. I'm not being emotional with this.
So you saved the Dolphins.
I guess I saved the Dolphins. How about that?
Again.
You listening, Hank?
Twice you saved the Dolphins.
Was I alone last time, too?
Yes.
Really? You guys are weird. All right, the Indianapolis Colts. Also 2-4, coming off just a dreadful loss at Houston, but at the same time, once again, a butt division, the AFC South,
and the best quarterback in the division by far.
So yeah, and the first place team is led by Brock Osweiler.
Fair enough, Mark.
It's very boring, but yes, I'll keep them around.
All right. Next up, a team near and dear to Chris Wessling's heart, even sometimes private moments of crisis in terms of faith and faith abandon. The Cincinnati Bengals, 2-4. No evidence that they're the same Bengals of last year, especially with all those missing pieces on offense. And yet, Wes, you still think there's a chance they can get a little hot and make a run, right?
Yeah, they've got some issues. The offensive line, for one, the running game, for two, and their linebackers, which are terrible in pass coverage. That's the third issue. But the Steelers don't have a quarterback right now. The Ravens are 3-3, and the Steelers and Ravens play each other. The Bengals have a chance to make up some ground in the next few weeks.
Yeah, look at the next 3 weeks. Browns home game.
Loss.
Redskins home game, and then a bye week. So it's not hard to imagine us entering week 10, and they're 4-4.
What will we say when Hugh Jackson executes a big old W on Marvin Lewis?
You've
come Sunday.
A lot of Browns wins this year, I have to say.
I will be right probably once.
I'd be happy. I want the Browns and the Jets to win some games. It's lighter in here on a Sunday.
But we just talked about the fact that the AFC North is open for business for 3 of 4 teams, so to fork the Bengals would be a tad contradictory to what we just said 20 minutes ago.
I am emotionally disconnected from this Jets season, so you're not going to have me dark like week 17 last year. It just won't happen. I get it.
Way to protect yourself, Dan.
Thank you. The last team we'll talk about, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 2-3. You know, Greg's boys, but really don't seem to be going anywhere this season anyway. But Greg, your thoughts on the Bucs at 2-3?
Well, they've been a lot worse than I ever would have imagined. They're lucky to be 2-3. They easily could be 1-4. And I think teams can change, though, in the season. That's why we always get these wrong. That, you know, we keep – I listened to our podcast the other night, and, you know, we have these thoughts of, like, this is what this team is for this year. And we just know from experience – so many of these teams are going to have such different stories in 6 weeks. They're going to have totally different narratives. Do I think the Bucs, who I believed in before the season, could turn around? Absolutely. We're not forking this team.
I would fork the Bucs with gusto. This is a bad, bad football team, and I agree they can change.
They're going to have to totally change.
I agree they can change. They can get a lot worse the rest of the season. They've got injury problems. Fork them with gusto. The Bucs are terrible.
Well, they are worse than they were under Lovie Smith right now. And listen, you don't have Doug Martin, you don't have Sims. But I get all that, but I mean, we're talking about this as a playoff team. That's the exercise.
Right.
They are not a playoff
team. I think Winston can be a playoff type of quarterback. I think the injuries that they've had, a lot of those guys are coming back. I mean, they have
Vincent
been
Jackson IR on Tuesday.
Right. Not all of them, but some of them are coming back.
Yeah, you need a whole lot to happen in the NFC
outside of them
becoming even an average football team.
Here's the bigger thing. They're 2-3. As bad as they've been, they're 2-3. I think the Titans, after 4 weeks, were the worst team in the league for those 4 weeks. But they had some things that were okay. They've started building up. They had snuck out one of those wins. Then the schedule gets easy. Suddenly they're 3-3, and things are looking pretty good. I think that can happen for the Bucs.
I mean, for your sake, because this is the team that you have about 14 sandwiches riding
Winston
on.
Throwing
let's keep them around. I'll keep them around for another week. I don't have a problem with that.
Ugh. Well, it's not up to you anyways. It's got to be unanimous.
Well, wow. You were trying to, Mark, extend an olive branch.
Honestly,
to Greg,
I was.
And what happens? You get
That's
snapped.
True. That's true.
I got Sydney'd.
Greg Rosenthal, please report to the gate for final boarding. This will be your final boarding call.
Greg, you really should go, by the way. We are urging you to leave. You're going to miss your flight.
All right.
So,
as soon as you leave the studio, we're forking the bucks.
Here we go. So we have forked one team today, the New York Jets, which gives us six teams forked in all.
Huzzah!
And I might as well, since I'm here, Greg, you're making me uncomfortable.
I'm going to go.
Either go
He's saying
or
to go.
I am
go or stay.
Yeah, Greg likes to get to the airport 12 minutes before the airplane leaves, but you are flying to a different country. Get there.
That's not true. It would be sad if I
All right, let's play Greg off.
All right, guys.
Have fun.
Enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
Take the bucket.
Enjoy yourself.
Thank you. I hope you're not really mad at me, Mark.
I'm not. No. I don't want to go anywhere right now. I'm staying right here in California,
baby. Just wait till he gets a couple drinks in him. It's going to come
It's not my fault. I'm going to try. I do feel a responsibility to do a really good job. I know you feel that too.
There are narratives being constructed. Don't worry. You're fine. Fly off. Have fun.
It's giving me the evil eyes.
I'm not at all.
Fly off. Have fun.
Have fun.
All right. I'll see you guys.
See you, Greg.
Might as well do a little Jets eulogy here. Here lies the New York Jets, a win-now team that had no idea how to win now. They are survived by Browning Nagel, Louis Aguiar, Chad Kaskaden, Leon Washington, me, and my dad.
Cumby!
In lieu of flowers, and Jeff Cumberland. In lieu of flowers, please provide my two sons, both born and unborn, with a chance. You read into that however you want. Just give them a chance that I didn't have. Whether that's the Jets becoming a team that you could be proud to root for at some point, maybe they get their Belichick. Or maybe they do become fans of another franchise. I can't fight them to if they don't want to root for the Jets. What have the Jets given me?
Just to point out, you just put your dad on blast for the one lone parenting mistake he made, which was having you be a Jets fan. So are you looking to continue that on another generation?
You know what? I don't even blame my old man because it was 1980. And the Jets were still, you know, about 10, 11 years removed from Namath. He didn't know how bad the next 35 years would be. I now know what's going on here. There's something very dark. There's a funk around my favorite team. And, I if my sons want to go down a different road, they can.
And now a word from our sponsor. Are you concerned about your friend group? Have they devolved into nothing more than a simple-minded gang of lads who, of late, have been totally hoodwinked by the Chicago School of Economic Theory? The Chicago School, are you serious? A system of thought directly opposed to the Keynesian paradigm and based around the scattered brainstorms of Milton Friedman, the Chicago-based economist who taught that the government interfered in the economy and should instead play a dramatically lesser role, preferring to abolish the Federal Reserve, Wes, but accepting its existence only to increase the money supply? You're no shill for the Fed. But what is Milton Friedman smoking? Beyond the basic debate, the idea that your self-satisfied anti-Keynesian friend group would huddle in taverns trumpeting their little Chicago school ramblings is disorienting. It is unrewarding. Does friendship even have meaning anymore, you ask yourself. I see these dim clowns, you whisper. I spot these former pals of mine wandering up and down the street, eating strawberry ice cream, digging their forks into filet mignons, slapping themselves on the back as they giggle. We aren't Keynesians, we're Chicago school devotees, bouncing around to and fro, getting our jollies. I won't accept this, you say. I won't. I will not. Sign up today for Mr. Flame's high school economic class in The Hague, the Netherlands, at www.flameclass.com.
Mr. F.
Who's clearing this copy? By the way, a little fun peek behind the curtain. Mark accidentally sent that entire rant of a madman to the entire newsroom where he meant to send it to yourself, was it, just to print it out?
Yeah, because the way that the Word is set up on my Mac is that you cannot print something unless you send it to someone first.
Yeah.
Comes out
2016.
Blank.
Yep.
It's a little odd, and, you know, we've all done this. You sent something wide, and you realize it was a disastrous move, and I felt like a flush of hot nerves and blood rushed through me as like multiple like executive figures came out of their office like, Sessler, what's that? Oh, my God.
Imagine like Aaron Coscarelli jumping onto Outlook and reading the rantings of a Unabomber. Marx manifesto on Keynesian economics.
It's a wild thing to be sent wide as well.
It's concerning.
All right. Let's you know what I want to do? Speaking of the Panthers, who we did not fork, the guy hasn't had a lot of good news, so why don't we call up David Ealy, our downstairs.
He's like our Charlie Brown.
Yeah, our downstairs desk editor, and let him know that his favorite team, the Panthers, not forked. I bet that would help him out. That would make him happy. I feel like that would brighten his day. Sid, can we do that?
News desk, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike, can I speak with David Ealy, please?
One second. May I ask who's calling?
This is the Around the NFL podcast.
This is Jordy Nelson.
We took that at face value.
Rodgers going all the way to his
right. It's our hold music.
What is this?
It's a little bit on the nose.
Full stretch and his fifth.
NFL, this is David.
David Ealy, what's up? Dan Hansis, the Around the NFL podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, I bet. I got some good news for you to cheer up your day. We just had a meeting of the Fort Committee. And the Carolina Panthers, despite being 1-5 and on some level you could argue a laughingstock this season, have not been forked. We did not fork the Panthers. Still alive in the mind of our team. We thought that might brighten your day as the biggest Panthers fan we know.
I mean, that's good to hear. I personally have kind of mentally forked them. So, but I'm glad that in the minds of you guys that there's still hope.
I did have a question for you, you know, because I know you had a lot of excitement around this team entering the season and coming off, of course, a Super Bowl berth, and was just curious how this, in terms of a shock, the team kind of coming out of the gate and falling on its face, in terms of shock value to you, how that stacked up with the sudden end of your college relationship with your ex-girlfriend. Because I know that one really knocked you on your butt for a while.
That's a good question. Let me give that a little bit of thought for a second. I'd say that
what was her name, by the way?
Phone frags. So anyway,
what was her name?
I'm not going to go into that.
Okay.
So I would say that
she heard
this
you,
is
huh?
more of a surprise. You could kind of see the relationship grinding to a halt.
Yeah,
back then, and I was much more optimistic about the 2016 Panthers than I was for that the long term aspects of that relationship.
This season feels like you trying to probably you did multiple times trying to get back together with her, and it's equally a messy disaster on some level.
Well, Mark, all ends are choppy, so I don't want to go.
That's coming from my boss, so I'm a little concerned that with the wording there. But
how's that going, by the way? How's the dynamic? It was a little choppy, to use a word, in the beginning. Wessling, Sessler, Ealy dynamic in late October. Wes?
Well, I'll start. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Once we got over Mark's issues with early morning shifts, then things started to go a little bit better. But I remember
Mark just furrowed his brow.
Well, I'm not quite sure what that means, but I was going to let you know that I know that you've been on, we've been on IM with Dave during the show. We have to be in communication with our boss, and he's a little peeked at us because two or three news items came up that we have refused to write because we're up here. But I want to let you know that Wes and I are going directly to a tavern up the street to watch the baseball playoffs after this podcast ends. Just want to let you know, deal.
Okay.
That
sounds great. That sounds like a responsible thing to do.
Wes,
this is a Dodgers town.
Wes, where are you at?
I think that things did start out a little bit rocky, but Dave has been he's been very fair. He's been totally receptive to suggestions. And he's been great.
A rainmaker.
All right, good. I have one more surprise for you, Dave, before I let you get back to work. A day of surprises for you. Connor Orr, are you on the line?
What's going on, everybody?
Connor Orr is, our New Jersey correspondent and also a thorn in the side of David Ealy, one of the all-time Panthers haters. Connor, welcome to the Around the NFL podcast.
K-pounded, everybody.
Hey, pounded.
Connor, how's your day been so far? How did you catch any fish? Connor was out fishing today. I don't know if you knew that, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I didn't catch any, but it was beautiful. It was fantastic. What's everybody up to? What are we doing?
I thought maybe you would have a couple pot shots at Ely, but it seems like you guys are in an okay place.
No, well, you know what? It's funny because I've been looking forward to this moment for like a year, and now that it's finally here, it's like, you know, like Steve Jobs, I'm on to the next thing. Like, I've already figured it out. I'm waiting for everybody to know what the iPhone is. I'm already on to the next thing. I'm already predicting the downfall of the Raiders in 2 years, or the Vikings. So,
interesting.
I'm on to it, you know?
So you've already laid waste to the Panthers and the Keep Pounding Nation, and there's just more to handle in your life.
Well, you know, yeah, but at the same time, I mean, you know, the proper amount of credit would be good. I think, like, last year during the Super Bowl, I said this was going to happen. this year on I said it a bunch of times, and, you know, I don't like profiting off of the misfortune of others, but, you know, hey, 1-5, and this guy was screaming it all along from New Jersey. Who was listening?
There you go. Ely, any final thoughts on that?
I mean, Connor's attempt to take their high road here is laughable. I mean, his way of moving on and saying that he's moving past the Panthers is just a low-key way of saying that they're beneath him, in my opinion. So this is all going to be filed into next week's schedule, Connor, just so you know.
Oh. Well, it got bad. All right, Ely, get off the phone before your employees hate you even more.
My God.
All right, Connor, can you stay on the line with us for a minute or two?
Yeah, that's cool. What's up? What's going on?
What's up? We have a couple of things we want to talk about with you. Like, right off the top, Wes, do you want to tee this one up? Some news with your Madden franchise coming to life.
Yeah, the Nile Mile is moving from Portland to Green Bay. Nile Davis has been traded to the Packers. How do you feel about that?
Nile Davis, just so for people listening, Connor's Madden team, which used to be anchored by Griff Whalen, who, ironically or coincidentally, I'm not sure which one, this is the one-year anniversary, of course, of Griff Whalen's lowest moment. Nile Davis became the second franchise player with your Madden franchise.
Yeah, it's certainly a proud moment for me. And just the fact that I keep picking the most random-ass players from, like, Madden 2012 and that they're still having some tangential impact on the NFL is really not only a credit to me, but, mostly a credit to me. So.
What about, like, now that you're married and you got the mortgage and you got all those things going on, are you still playing your Madden 2012 console?
Well, first of all, big ups to EA Sports for sending around the NFL a trial copy of the new high-tech Madden.
Oh, wow.
Look at you working those phones.
I do not have a PS4. I played it at my cousin Justin's house. Unbelievable. But that being said, never going to give up. Marriage, you know, kids, whatever's down the corner, you know, the hogs, they're going to keep going. We're going to keep going forever.
Connor had mentioned to me that while I get the keep going thing with Madden, that you know, it sounds like you do give an ample amount of time to your wife and future children, but at the same time that you've delved deep into PC online adventure games of some sort, which sounds like a much bigger wormhole than playing a few games of Madden.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, once you figure out, like, for example, you predict something like the Panthers and then you sort of unlock your mental capacity, I thought, why am I just focusing on the NFL? Why can't I play Age of Empires and rule the world? And so, you know, I think that's kind of the next step for me mentally. That felt right.
So kind of almost expanding your ambitions a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, like, you know, guys that I talk to listen to a lot of TED Talks. You know, it's me, you know, Kanye West is running for president. So, you know, this is kind of what smart people do with their free time, you know?
I hear you on that. All right, before we go, and Connor would love to have you sit in on this as well, we're going to talk about the Thursday night football game between the Chicago Bears and Green Bay Packers. And I guess I'd be curious, Connor, your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers, who is really become it is becoming a major storyline in this season now. Why is the best quarterback in the world not that anymore? What is your theory on this?
Now, can we let's stop this, because you know what's going to happen is what? We're all going to say this stuff, and then like 9 weeks later, when he passes for like 13,000 yards over 9 weeks, he's going to do that thing where it's like, oh, well, the media didn't believe. No, well, you know what? You're awesome, and I still think you're awesome. So it's going to be fine. The sky isn't falling, and everything's going to be fine.
So you're saying a 17-game sample isn't enough to shake your confidence in this guy becoming Aaron Rodgers again?
No. He's electrifying. If he ever wanted to play for the Hogs, I got some cap issue, but he would be one of my first picks. Great guy.
What do you guys think about this game? And Mark, I know you're not very excited about the prospect of another Chicago primetime.
I don't know what was the strategy here. You know, hey, we've got 32 teams to work with. We've got to squeeze a couple of these wannabe clubs into primetime. We get that. Everyone is, you know, we're copacetic with that. But it is the middle of October, and we're about to be treated, if that's the word you want to use, to the Bears for the third time at night. Now, I have a much better things to do with my evenings than to watch this team. I will find something better. Maybe I'll start to play Age of Empire, if that's what it's called.
I would rather watch a very uncomfortable, squeamish Dean Blandino attempt to justify the catch rule on an endless loop for hours and hours than spend any time previewing a Chicago Bears game.
And I think this is the last Bears game.
Unless they decide to start just flexing them in.
Flexing it out. I certainly think the Packers will get healthy in this game. The Bears are 1-5. The Packers, they could use a confidence booster here, and maybe Chicago gives it to them. But make sure the next time you hear from us, we will be recapping that game. Actually, it'll be Wes and I, because Greg is in London. Recapping the Thursday night game, and then we'll recap or preview all of the Week 7 games to come. Connor, it keeps coming the week after week after week, buddy.
You got to keep pounding, Danny. You got to keep pounding.
All right. That's it. That's it for today's show. Like I said, we'll be back late Thursday night. But until then, this is Dan Hansis signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, Dave Ely, the new boss, Connor, or are you kidding me? And Lassid behind the glass. Till Thursday.
All right, Sid, let's go.
Oh!
Wow, what?
Greg.
Sorry, I think I fixed it.
All right, good.
Just like 2 seconds.
Just for the record, that's Greg that's
yeah, that was,
being rude to you. Not
she knows.
Entire.
Not a reflection
she knows
on the rest of us.
We have a relationship where we can be honest.
That's what you think.
Do you?